Acts chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Ready together in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We'll use the same verses, but we're going to go to a different direction we did last week. And we're talking about this idea about mission possible. Mission being our mission as a church, a mission statement. It's on the back wall. Our mission as a church, and it is possible. The idea of possible about doing what the Lord would have us do as a church. We're in the early part of 2015. And typically, this time of the year, we preach slightly different type of sermons. You know, the reality is we live in Northeast Ohio. I think you understand that. And we have snow. You understand that, right? You've seen some of that lately. And then we have ice. You notice that, any of that this morning? Yeah, we got a little bit out there. And so snow and ice. And then we have the third thing is we have colds. I already got a couple calls this morning, some folks in our church sick. And that's just the reality. You know, this time of the year, this area, that we understand. It's just reality. And so, you know, we'll have a spring program coming up. Easter's coming up. You know, we'll divide our church into two teams. We've already got a spring program planned. And we have some other things planned down the road. And be a little more exciting, I guess. But sometimes, as a church body, it's important that we make sure we understand what we're supposed to be doing as a church. And we understand what the Lord expects out of us. You know, we're not just simply a community center. We're not simply just a get together and let's go meet at the restaurant. There's a purpose. There's a reason that Jesus started the church, and there's a purpose and a reason He has us here, and something He wants us to accomplish. And so I think it's important as a church body that we remind ourselves, and maybe even for the first time for some, understand what the Lord has for us. And so we spoke last week on this idea of, you know, why we do all this. Now we're going to look this morning, kind of a different angle now, about this idea about building our lives on God's Word. Or, we could say it this way, building lives. So the first idea is building our own lives, but then also the idea that we're not simply building our own life, but building other lives as a church ministry. Building lives on God's Word. Let's pray, and we'll get into it. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I believe the truths we'll look at this morning are important. Be important for each person, but also I believe they're important corporately as a church body. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Give us understanding, give us wisdom, but at the same time, Lord, give us power. Lord, give us the ability to do what you'd have us to do. Now we ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I draw your attention, if you will, to back to our text, look at verse 42. And it says this, and they continued steadfastly. It's an interesting phrase there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, he mentioned some other things as well, but he begins this now, what this church was doing, this church in Jerusalem. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's two things I think this implies. Number one, this implies that the apostles were teaching. When they got together, when this early group got together, these apostles were teaching the Word of God. They were actually teaching them doctrine, teaching them the Word of God. Now, what were they teaching them? Okay, well, if you're in Acts 2, we use our Bibles a little bit just to start with and maybe to finish with. Acts 4, if you will, just a couple chapters over. And look with me at verse number 13. So they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine. Well, what was the apostles' doctrine? Well, look down at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. Now drop down, if you will, to verse number 18. And they called them and commanded them, this would be Peter and John there, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Well, what had they seen and heard? They'd seen and heard Jesus, right? So what was the apostles' doctrine? These apostles were teaching them about the Lord. What the Lord had taught them, now they were teaching these new converts. So the apostles' doctrine, I think we could say, was Jesus' doctrine. I don't think there's any way we're twisting scriptures or not understanding anything about that. If you're in chapter 4, look over to chapter 5. Notice what it says in verse 42. And daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not, notice this, to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. And so Jesus now is the focus of what they're teaching. So they came together, you have 3,000 converts, they're coming together as a church body, and the Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what was this doctrine? What were they teaching? They're teaching about the Lord, teaching what the Bible says about the Lord, what the Lord expects out of them. And so these apostles now are teaching. So this verse 42, they continue steadfastly, implies that the apostles were teaching. I think we understand that. But I'm going to turn it now and also make sure we understand this. This also implies that they were putting those teachings in practice. The Bible didn't simply say that they showed up and the apostles taught. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in that doctrine. So the implication is, number one, the apostles are actually taking time and saying, let's get together, let's open our Bibles, let's teach you what the Lord taught us. So the assembling together was for the purpose, not simply, there's nothing wrong with shaking hands. We do that every once in a while around here. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with singing songs. We do that once in a while. Those things are not wrong to do. But the focus, the purpose, what they made sure they did was to teach them the Word of God. Imagine this morning if we came together, we sang some songs, I shook your hand and said, okay, nice to see you, put your money in the plate and see you next week. You'd say, aren't we missing something here? Isn't there something else to this service? Feed me, give me something for my soul, help my spirit out. I thank God for the singing, I thank God for the fellowship, but I need the truth, the Word of God for me. And so the apostles did teaching, but the Bible says though, once that teaching went on, they continued steadfastly. And so that implies that these teachings were now being put in practice. Now, let's be clear about this. The purpose of learning God's Word is to live His Word. The purpose of learning God's Word isn't so that we walk around with a head so big that if we just tilt the wrong way, we'll be like, whoa, whoa. Whoa. That's not the purpose of learning. But sometimes I think that's what people think. They will buy stacks of books and read them. They will go on the internet for hours and search out things. They'll ask all kinds of questions about what the Bible teaches. But they do nothing in their own life about living it. The purpose of Bible learning is for Bible living to occur in our lives. We're not gaining knowledge just for the sake of knowledge so we can pass a test or impress someone. The idea is that we're putting these things in practice in our life. The Bible is clear about this, I believe. It says this in 2 Timothy, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. You've learned them, great. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you listened. I'm glad you learned those things, and now you know it. But then he says, but you continue. You do these things. Don't just know them, but do them. 2 Peter also tells us this. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What does he mean there? You know them. You're doing them. But he says, be careful that you don't get to a point where all you do is know them and you're not doing them. Be steadfast. Continue in living the things you know. And then he says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. So he says, you know some things, continue in those things, and then gain more knowledge. Why? So you can do even more for the Lord. The whole purpose of knowing is the doing. And so we come to that verse, Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Obviously, the apostles are teaching.
And also, the implication is that those who are being taught are putting these things up in practice. Now imagine, again with me this morning, imagine if we did all of our singing, we did all of our handshaking, we did our offering, we had our special music, we all now, everything's quiet, and all of a sudden I reached in here, and I pulled out the sports page. And I said, for this Sunday morning, we're going to read the sports page. And I just spent the whole next time we have for preaching and just read the sports page to you. What would your reaction be? You'd say, No, it's the Bible. You preach the Bible. Get rid of that sports page. That's not what church is about. Churches are not reading a business page or a sports page or Dear Abby. The church is about reading it, preaching it, teaching God's Word. That's why we're here. Wouldn't you agree? Let me ask you, would you be kind of... Maybe I'm the only one who thinks this. Would it bother you if all we did on a Sunday morning is read the sports page? Would you have a problem with that? Would you say, I don't really think I want to go back to that church. Really, there's not much there for me. Now, I think all of us would say, I am aghast. I am shocked. I am outraged that all he did on a Sunday morning... What if it wasn't me? Because you'd say, well, Pastor White, we know you. You wouldn't do that. You're just blah, blah, blah. Okay. Again, you're blah, blah, blah. Now, what if we brought a special speaker in? And everything got quiet, and he opened his Bible, and then he read the sports page. I guarantee you, you'd come to me afterwards and said, you bring him again, I'll never come back to this church. I'm here for the Bible. I'm not here for sports. And I would say, you know what? I'm there with you. We would be outraged, shocked, if there was no Bible teaching going on in our church. But why is it that we're not shocked or outraged when there's no Bible living going on? Why is it that we think it's okay as long as the Bible's being, as long as he's hitting the pulpit like that, and he's shouting about it, and everyone's saying amen, or at least I'm saying amen, everyone's saying amen about it? That's okay, but, you know, if we don't live it, well, that's no big deal. We should be just as shocked and outraged if there's no Bible living. That should bother me. We said, wait a minute, this isn't right. We're not just saying words to say words. We're not just throwing out facts or throwing out truths or giving doctrine just for the sake of giving it out. The purpose is living it. The purpose is putting it in practice in our life. The truth is this morning that both are necessary, the teaching and preaching of God's Word and then the living and practicing of God's Word as well. One of the critical components of a church ministry, I believe with all my heart, one of the critical components of a church ministry is the teaching of God's Word. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's a preaching time, whether it's master's club, whether, you know, okay, I understand nursery, okay, well, maybe not so much. Okay, I understand there are limits to what we're saying. You know, if you're shoveling snow, I mean, you're shoveling snow. But I'm talking about in the ministries of our church where we're dealing with people. People who have, you know, even our sunshine classes this way. We're dealing with people. We're trying, on, at least on their level, to convey to them God's Word. That's what ministry is about. This is a critical component of a church ministry, the teaching of God's Word. We cannot stand on the promise. We say, standing on the promises of... No, how can you stand on the promises if you don't know what the promises are? You can't stand on what you don't know. We say, we need to fight the good fight of faith. But how can you do that if you don't know what the fight of faith is? You have no idea what your faith is. How can you fight the fight of faith if you don't know what your faith is? We read these verses, like in verse 42, continue steadfastly. How can we continue steadfastly if we've never heard the doctrine being taught to us? One of the most important questions we ought to ask when we're reading our Bibles, when we're listening to preaching, when whatever it may be, anytime the Word of God is going out, one of the most important questions is, well, what does the Bible say? Okay, I have your opinion, I hear what you think about it, but what does the Bible say? Because that is necessary to build on my Christian life. Now, at this point in time, there's a question that sometimes comes up, maybe even right now in your mind. Because you say, but Pastor White, is it more important to come to church and hear the Bible taught? Or is it, okay, and we're not saying it's not important, but we're saying what's more important? Coming to church and hearing the Bible taught or studying the Bible at home? Of the two, which is the more important? Okay, they're both important, but what is more important? So you're going to ask me this. Okay, Pastor White, what is the more important? Bible taught at church, Bible studied at home. And I have an answer for you. Yes. You can't divide the two. They're indivisible. I'm going to give you a statement. This may shock you. Most of my Bible knowledge I have, and there's some debate about how much that is, most of my Bible knowledge that I have has come from sitting out and listening to preachers in a local New Testament church. I've learned more at church than I ever learned at Bible college, and I ever learned reading the Bible on my own. Most of my Bible knowledge has come from men of God who stood behind a pulpit and taught the Word of God, and I listened to the Word of God and said, Lord, open my eyes, help me understand these things, help me know what you would have me to do in my life as the Lord taught it to me. That's where most of my Bible knowledge has come from. But now watch this, and here's the flip side. Most of my Bible confidence has come from my own study at home. Because I heard it at church and learned it at church and said, okay, I hear what he's saying, but then to go home and to open my Bible and to study it and compare scripture to scripture, then I come confident that this is what God wants. And they work together. You cannot divide them. We learn the Bible at church, but then we go home and study it and become confident in these things in our own personal study. There's a verse we quote a lot about this in the book of Acts. Notice what it's... that's not the verse. The verse is in Acts 17. And if I looked at my notes, it said, don't push the button, dummy. Have them turn to it. So, Acts 17, if you will. Acts 17. And look down with me at verse number 11. It helps when I actually read what I write down to tell myself. Sometimes I don't do that. Now, look with me in Acts 17. Look with me in verse 11. Notice what this verse says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, okay, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You understand? Two things are going here. They're receiving the word of God with all readiness, and then they're going home and they're searching the scriptures. Both are necessary. Both are important. You cannot come to church and just say, well, whatever the preacher says, that's what I'm going to believe. Let me tell you, that is a very, 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 very foolish way to live your Christian life. Your confidence should not be in Pastor White. I mean, sometimes I push the button when I'm not supposed to. I mean, don't put confidence in me. You need to put the confidence in God's Word. When I teach you anything, when I say anything about the Word of God, you ought to say, you know what? Man, that's good. That's good. And then go home, open your Bible and say, let's make sure this is what the Bible actually says. Because when you stand before the Lord, He's not going to say, well, how did you do based on what Brother White said or Pastor White said? He's going to say, what did you do based on what my Word said? We're going to be looked at and judged based on His Word. And so both are important. So a critical component of a church ministry is the teaching of God's Word. That gives us that basis, and then it challenges us to go home and then study it for ourselves. Now, since we're not home and studying it, we're focusing on the first part, which is coming to church and learning it. And so the hallmark of any New Testament church must be the teaching of God's Word. Everything else a church does builds upon that. Every ministry has had that mindset. Every song has had that focus. Every member is supposed to have that mission, that we're here to gain from God's Word. We're here to learn from God's Word. Now, why is this such an important part of our mission? Let me give you two thoughts about it. I want to try to challenge us as a church body. And this idea about being a Bible-teaching church doesn't mean we can't do our fellowships, doesn't mean we can't have our picnics, doesn't mean we can't do all the other activities. We're not voiding those. But when you look at a church, we're saying this must be going on at Grace Baptist Church. I am 50 years old. You know that. I've made in tears. I've told you that many times. I'm 50 years old. The reality is this. I have, and this is my reality. Well, it may not be real, but it's the reality I think my reality is. I have, if the Lord tarries His coming, unless I get sick and have some disease or something, I have basically 10 years of ministry left. people in their 60s, they're maintaining. They're not going forward. And so at 60, you got to start thinking about, okay, who's the next guy who's taking over this thing? So I have about 10 years of ministry left. Now, eventually, again, if the Lord tarries his coming and all things are normal and the life goes as it is, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a different pastor in this church. And one of the main focuses on that new pastor would be this. Is he going to teach the Word of God? We don't need a guy who gives us philosophy. We don't need a guy who just says, well, here's what so-and-so said. We need to say someone who stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, because here's what the Lord said right here. So it's important that we understand what we're supposed to be as a church. This is our mission, a Bible-teaching church. Now, why is this part of our mission? I'll give you two thoughts about this. Number one is this. It's important to understand this. The Bible is designed to be taught. If you've been here some on Wednesday nights, and I've kind of alluded to this, one of our next big Bible studies after we finish connecting the dots is we're going to do what's called a view of the life of Christ. I think that's what it's going to be called. And we're taking the life of Christ and using Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four gospel accounts, and put it in chronological order and looking at it from beginning to end. And you'll learn some things because not all the four has the same order, and some are in one book and that's not in the other. And so we'll try to connect some dots in that way in different Bible study. But one of the difficulties is the Lord, it's really not big as far as the Lord didn't give us all the exact boom, 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 boom. And so you have to do a lot of study and some choosing there about which came first, which event happened first or second. And so you look at those things, and that's not and the reason I bring that up, that's not the chronological order of things is not real big on the Lord. I mean, it's the Lord gives us some, but it's not high. Let me tell you what is high on the Lord's order of things, that we teach what he said. He designed his word that way, that it would be taught. His word wasn't designed just to be put on a shelf somewhere. His word wasn't designed just to be lifted up and weighed, even though we do that sometimes. It's not just that the design of God's word. He gave it in such a way for it to be taught. So that's the purpose of the word of God, to be taught. Now I want you to notice this verse. A lot of times we quote it and don't think about it. Okay, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? But notice what we're hearing. What are we hearing? So he's telling us that our faith is built on something we're hearing, and what we're hearing is the Word of God. Now, what he's not saying this. He's not saying that we have to listen to an MP3 recording of Scripture. It's not wrong to do that, but that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying you have to have the Bible on audio. He's not saying you have to have a MP3 or a CD or a cassette, 8-track, LP, whatever it may be. He's not 45. He's not saying you've got to have an audio recording of Scripture. I'm trying to just figure out where you're at on those things. That's some of you guys do have an 8-track player somewhere. But anyways, he's not saying there has to be an audio recording. You understand? He's not saying don't read the Bible, listen to the Bible. He's not saying that. What he's saying is this, it's not going to be an audio recording of the Bible. He's talking about the preaching of the Bible. Well, how do I know that? Because if we look at the context of what he says, notice these verses with me. How then, we looked at verse 17, we're going back a couple of verses, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He's talking about hearing the word of God because of a preacher preaching it and teaching it. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So God is telling us that we are to hear the Word of God being taught. The Bible is designed. Our faith is designed to be growing because we're hearing the preaching of God's Word. It is critical to the church. It's critical in your Christian life. You can't sit there and say, well, I can just read the Bible for myself. Yes, and you ought to. But you cannot neglect the hearing of the preaching of God's Word. The Bible is designed to be taught. Now listen to me. I'll say it as clear as I can say it. You will not grow in your Christian faith if you are not putting yourself under a ministry that teaches God's Word. It isn't going to happen. I understand, some things happen in your life and you miss. Okay? There are reasons. It's good to see Greg back with us. He had a car accident, really messed him up. He already had some health issues to start with, and this just compounded. But he made the effort, he came this morning. I appreciate that. Okay? I also understand You know, if you get in a car accident, you may not be able to come to church for a while. Okay, I think we understand that. You have a serious sickness. Okay, I think we understand there are exceptions. But let me just say this, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm going to be as clear as I can. But if you miss, you miss. You're missing something. Okay? Because that's just the way the Lord says, here's how I designed it. That the preaching, as people are preaching the God's Word and it goes out and comes into your ears, then God uses it to build our faith. It is necessary. It is critical that we are under the preaching and teaching of God's Word.
You're in Acts, whatever, last. Go with me to Acts 8. Let me show you just a couple of verses about it. Acts 8. And look in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip he would come up and sit with him. That's what we're talking about. Take someone to teach it and preach it to help us. We see another place. We see it in the book of Luke. Hold your place in Acts 8. We'll come right back to Acts. But if you look up here with me in the book of Luke, then he said unto them, Jesus is saying to them, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He spends that 40 days. This is in that road to Emmaus part of it. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They had the scriptures. They had read the scriptures. Now he's actually teaching them what the Bible says, and their faith is growing. Now go with me to Acts 17. Let's look at one more place. Acts 17. Look with me in verse number 2. And Paul, after, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must and needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Look at verse 4. And some of them believed. Now, how did that happen? Not because they read it for the first time. They've read it before, but now someone's teaching, someone's guiding them, someone's directing them. They're hearing God's Word preached. Their faith is being growing. They're putting their faith in Christ. They're growing as Christians. This is happening because the Bible is designed to be taught. Now, there are times, I want you to just listen to me. There are times as a church grows, and I finally sat down this past week and actually ran the numbers for last year. I've told you before, last year was a good year for us, but I never really ran the numbers, but I had seen the numbers, and you kind of, after 8+ years, you kind of have a handle where you're at as a church. So I actually ran the numbers. We have a spreadsheet, plugged them all in, they all do what they do. And so then compared them to all the last, from year number one, 2006, all the way to year number eight and a half, whatever, at 2014. 2014 was the best year we've ever had as a church, in every category, mostly. Not perfect. We still have Doug to deal with. But in most categories, I'm just teasing. We like him because we like his wife. And so, but almost in every category, we've done well as a church. Now, again, we're not, okay, it's not like it's, you know, we're giving Cleveland Baptist a run for their money. Okay, and we're trying to keep things in perspective here, okay? But as a church, we are going forward and we're thankful for those things, and we pray the Lord continues that. Now, there are times, though, as a church grows, that we are, now listen, we are tempted to downplay this part of the mission. People say, you know, if you just weren't as picky about things, don't talk about cigarettes, don't talk about drinking, don't ever mention anything about homosexuality, don't say anything about abortion, don't say anything about politics. Pretty soon, I have a list that would fit on a corner of this piece of paper of the things that won't offend anyone. And probably people are offended because even that very thing. That's not the way you run a church. Let me tell you what you do. You stand up and you preach this book. You say, well, what happens if people don't like it? They don't like it. It's not us. Okay, we didn't. If what would you do if your mailman came to your door, okay,
your mailman came to your door and he said, well, you got a letter from your aunt. Well, that's a checkbook. That's even better. He said, you got a letter from your aunt. Bill, you got a letter from your aunt. But you know what? I don't know if I like your aunt. And he just said, he just tore your letter up and threw it away. You'd be like, wait a minute. It's my mail. You don't get to choose. You just give me my, just give it to me and I'll read it and I like it or don't like it. Just give me my mail. That's the way the Lord says. It's not our job to change what he said. We just take it. Now you can like it or not like it, but it's our job to take it. It's not my job to say, well, you know, wait, if I preach this, Lord, so-and-so's going to get mad, so we're not preaching that. Well, if I preach that, so, well, that's not my job. My job is not to try to water it down or decipher it in such a way to make everyone happy. My job is to say, well, this is what the Bible says and this is what it is. Now, we have to continually reassert the importance of Bible teaching. And there's a second part to this that we need to move on to quickly. So the Bible is designed to be taught. Number two is this. The church is commanded to equip believers. Our job as a group of believers is to run a ministry in such a way that someone can come in, they can hear the Word of God preached, they can be saved, and then they can learn some things from the Word of God and grow in their Christian faith so they can accomplish what the Lord wants to. Now, some people, okay, well, so-and-so, they don't seem to be growing. Well, you know what? I can't make them want it. Okay? I can't put so-and-so in a headlock and drag them kicking and screaming into the will of God. All I can do, I can give them the truth. Eventually, it comes to the point whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, okay, it's not going to happen. If you don't have any desire, it's not going to happen. Okay? I can't sit there and grab you by the scruff of the neck and force you to do what the Lord says. I can only tell you what the Lord says. But I need to do tell you what the Lord says. So the church is commanded to equip believers. Ephesians 4, so in case you're wondering, well, what does that mean, equip believers? Let me explain it from the Bible. Ephesians 4 says this, and he gave some, now he's talking about the local, this local body, this churches, that's the idea here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now why? For the perfecting, the completing, the growing, the making them what they're supposed to be, okay? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The ministry goes forward by the people of God, and the church is supposed to equip them to do the work of the ministry. And then it says this, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is that local body. Edifying, same thing as an edifice. It's a building. It means to build up the church. The church is to work in people's lives so the church is built up and accomplishes what the Lord wants it to accomplish. So we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, let me show you another verse. 1 Timothy says this, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he says here, don't teach anything else, because those things minister questions. But if we look at it the other way around, understand what is the positive, that's the negative, if we look at what the positive is, then we teach the right doctrine, because the right doctrine does what? Godly edifying. That's the idea here. The right doctrine, the right teaching of God's words edifies, builds up, it equips believers for the Lord. Now let me see if I can be more specific. Every believer, you're a born-again believer this morning, okay? We're all home folks. I think I've explained it multiple times. Let me explain it one more time. What is a believer? Not a church member, not a Baptist, not a good person, not someone who's trying to reform their life. A born-again believer is someone who's come to the point where they've acknowledged that they're a sinner before a holy God. They realize that there's no good thing they can do to ever get to heaven. They look to the cross of Christ, the one who died for their sins, who shed his blood. They put their faith in Christ alone, not a church, not an act, not a prayer, not a creed, but in Christ alone as their Savior. They receive him in their heart as their Savior. That's their confidence for heaven. Eternal life is based on Jesus Christ. That's a born-again believer. Now, every born-again believer is involved in a battle with Satan, whether you like it or not. You can sit home all day long and click, 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 click on the internet. You're still in the battle with Satan. You say, I'll never go to church again. I'll never even think about church. If you're born again, you're still in a battle. Every believer has this battle.
He constantly attacks us. He constantly attacks our families. And it's the job of the local church to equip you in this battle. One of the reasons we need to preach the truth, because that's the only thing you have to fight Satan. There's an old story. And historians disagree whether it's World War I, World War II. There's some disagreements. I'm going to give you the story. It's most likely World War I. In World War I, the Russians, they had a huge army and a little bit of guns and a little bit of bullets. They had like huge army, guns, bullets. And they're fighting the Axis, Germans and such. And so they would take their men and they'd say, "Russian soldier number one, here is your rifle." They didn't have any bullets. "Here is your rifle. Russian soldier number two, here is the bullets. Russian soldier number three, follow them. When he gets shot, you pick up his rifle, put your bullets in that. When he gets shot, you pick up the gun and start shooting." That's basically how they send him into battle. Would you say that's well equipped? Would you want to be in that battle? Let me tell you. As long as I'm number three, right? Let me tell you this. Isn't it a shame if we did the same thing to Christians in our church? Okay. Hope you can make it. Satan's out there waiting for you. Hope you can make it. Instead of saying, "Here's how you make it. Here's how you do it. Here's the importance of prayer. Here's the idea of being a soul winner. Here's the idea of living a holy life. Here's the idea of being consecrated to the Lord." If you look at the armor of God that the Lord tells us to put on, he says, put on the whole armor of God. And he goes through all these pieces, and we'll go through it quickly. He says, "You wrestle not against flesh and blood." Then he says, verse 13 again, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor." Now, what is this armor of God? If you look through the armor, he says this. Here's the parts of it. The truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You look through the whole armor, it all is the Word of God. All of it somehow relates back to the Word of God. And God says, you will be equipped. You'll be able to fight. You'll be able to stand if you're equipped with the Word of God. So why is the Word of God paramount to be taught? Well, the Bible is designed to be taught. And it's our job as a church to equip you as a believer. The work of God in the local church. Let me say it this way. I believe this. I believe what we do as a church is the most important thing that happens anywhere. You say, "Well, what about the president and his war room and cabinet and all that?" I think what we do as a church body is more important than that. Because we're dealing with the souls of men. It's not about politics. It's not about what's politically correct. It's not about the next election. It's about the souls of men. And the work of God, I believe, is the most important work there is. We are equipping believers to fight in God's army. We are strengthening believers against Satan's attacks. And we are instructing believers in the Christian faith. So we come to the end. Now, you were waiting for this part. 2 points, we're done, we're out of here. We got 4 points and a conclusion. I want you to think with me. I'll go through it fast. I want you to think. Because when we come to a message, there's two words that are always important. So what? Okay, our mission is to teach the Word of God. The Bible is designed to be taught. The church is to equip believers. But so what? What does that mean in my Christian life? I've come out on a Sunday morning. I've sat here. You hit a few times on the Bible. You raised your voice. You walked around. You told a story about Russians that didn't know how to fight a war. Okay, but what? So what? What does this mean for me? Here's what it means. There's 4 things I'm asking you to do this morning. Number one is this. Commit yourself to be under the teaching of God's Word. We cannot have it a take-it-or-leave-it attitude about church. "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go or not." We got to push that away and say, "I have to be there. I need to be there. I got to be there. I need God's Word to be preached to me." Commit yourself to be under the teaching of God's Word. Number two is this. Commit yourself to the teaching of God's Word. And by that I mean this. We ought to commit ourselves that this is the most important thing. The teaching of God's Word. We ought to say we're going to be known as a Bible teaching church. Every ministry that's possible, we're going to align it to a Bible teaching focus. I'm committed to this. This is important that we do this. Let me watch number three. Commit yourself to doing what God's Word teaches. If we're not going to do any of it, it's all in vain. I don't care how many times you... You can do that until I flatten my ring. It doesn't matter. If all we're going to do is say, okay, that's done, let's go do what I want now, it's all in vain. We got to say, no, the idea of hearing is to doing. The idea of learning is to live it. Once I understand, I will make every effort to obey. None of us are perfect. We all have challenges. We all have issues. We understand that. I think the Lord understands that. But we have to say, okay, Lord, if you teach it to me, I'm going to, best I can with your help, put it in practice in my life. The Bible says, okay, compel them to come in. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's my responsibility. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to testify. I'm going to hand out gospel tracts. I'm going to witness to people. Why? Because the Bible tells it to me. I've learned it, and I'm going to live it what the Bible says. And here's the fourth thing I'm asking you to commit yourself to. And that is this: commit yourself to teaching God's Word. We need people who just commit themselves. You know what? I'm going to learn it so I can teach this to someone else. Probably in one area of the church we need help is in the idea of, is in Bible teaching going on. Sunday school teachers, master's club, stuff like that. We've got people who see the need and realize, you know, the whole purpose of a church is not just to come together, to go to a potluck. I'm all for potluck. That all sounds good. It's all good. We're not against that. But we're saying, but where is the teaching? Where's the giving of God's Word? The best thing we can do is this. And I mentioned it earlier, the best thing we can do is establish a work that lasts longer than us. We should want a church here for generations to come with the same mission as we have now. Years ago, we had a 100-year celebration of First Baptist Church in Hammond. Not that Brother Howe's been there 100 years, but at that point in his ministry, the church was 100 years old. And I think it was, we had several things going on, but I think it was the 100th year anniversary this happened. He had pastored previous from Hammond. He had pastored in Texas. He had a big church there in Garland, Texas. And that's kind of what made him famous. And then he took over the church in Hammond and exploded. Big, mega church. Now, for this anniversary, they actually went back because, you know, he had been their pastor for many years. And so they went back to that church in Garland, and they got some of the folks years ago had been part of that church who were still alive, which, I mean, they were getting up in years. And I remember one, and they interviewed them someone like a Sunday, it was before the evening service. Our evening service was 7. We had a 6 o'clock, we'll call question and answer time. And they interviewed him during that 6 o'clock time. I forget the guy's name. He was an older guy. And they asked him about what the church was like in Texas years ago. And someone had asked a question, because you could write questions down, and they brought them up, and Brother Howes asked the guy questions, you know, drew them out and asked him. And he said, here's a question someone's asking. He said, what is the ministry in Hammond compared to the ministry in Texas? You know, you've been in Texas with me. You see what we're doing here. He said, what? He said, here's what he said. This is what this guy said. He said, same thing, just more of it. That's how it'd be a desire of our church. Same thing, just more of it. You come back, maybe the Lord takes you, maybe like, I don't know, maybe you go to Kansas for whatever reason you go to Kansas, and you're in Kansas for a while. And then you come back, maybe you're in Kansas for 10 years. And then you come back to Grace Baptist. You ought to be able to look around and say, yep, same thing, just more of it. That ought to be our heart's desire. We ought to say, Lord, please help us in this. Help us to commit ourselves to these things. Help this to be in our heart. Help this to be our church. Lord, help us in my own personal life as a believer. Let me tell you this. If we don't commit ourselves, it won't happen. We'll just say, what happened? We're not committed. It just drifted away. That's our mission. Committing ourselves to the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and then putting it in practice in our life.